Welcome to the Freedom Report.
What I love about Austin Peterson is his love of the battle. He wants to fight.
Austin was, of course, the rabble-rouser, just to make sure I stayed Rothbardian.
We live in a world fraught with danger, and there is a certain amount of danger that the public must endure in order to secure the blessings of liberty.
For economic freedom and personal liberty.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to get a little pledge, and we're going to have...
We have a cow.
Some pigs. We're going to have maybe a chicken. Down the flat, we'll have a little field.
Feed the alfalfa for the rabbits.
The rabbits.
And I get the tender rabbits.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Freedom Report podcast. Today is Monday, October the 8th, and the clip that you were just listening to was the final dramatic scene from a classic movie, from a classic book by John Steinbeck, known as Of Mice and Men. The head character is played by Gary Sinise and John Malkovich. If you've never seen it, highly recommend that you watch it. And, of course, I think it's very important that I put a little bit of a preface in this. We are discussing metaphors here. This is metaphor. We are not discussing literal acts of violence here. We are using the metaphor of a story from a popular book of American fiction to play into current events to help people understand what it is that I mean. Metaphors are very useful to help people understand, to paint pictures in people's heads. And surely this is a very stark, very violent picture to be putting in people's heads, but it is an issue that I think deserves this metaphor. And that is of the scene from Of Mice and Men, the very end of the play slash book slash movie, where the character is Lenny, who is mentally disabled, is shot by his best friend George. And Lenny has developmental disabilities. He's mentally disabled. And this scene culminates in this, all this tension culminates into this scene where Lenny is shot by his best friend George because Lenny has just murdered a girl who he mistook. He didn't understand that he would hurt her. He was too big, and he broke her neck on accident. Now, George, his best friend, decides to put him down to shoot him because he knows that Lenny is dangerous. And if Lenny is allowed to continue to live, then he will very likely kill again because he just doesn't understand his strength. He doesn't understand how what he does hurts people. And George, who knows Lenny, puts him down out of mercy because there is a lynching squad that is out to kill Lenny to try and find him after he murdered this woman. I want to tell a quick story related to this topic very briefly. I had a situation similar to this on the family farm about maybe a dozen years ago or so, maybe more, where my aunt was sitting outside and we were chit-chatting. We saw a stray cat come up on the farm and she decided that she was going to pet it. Well, you know, you guys know, if you know anything about feral cats, they're not like house cats. They're not cats that you can mess around with and you shouldn't touch them because they can be very dangerous. Well, my aunt decided that she was going to go over and pet this stray cat. Well, the cat attacked her. The cat bit her and drew blood. And I didn't even stop to think about it. I ran inside the house, I grabbed my .22 rifle, and I shot that cat right between the eyes. Now, why did I do that? Why did I do that? I did that because there was a chance that that cat could have been rabid. And there was only one way for us to find that out. We were going to have to destroy the cat and send it off to a vet to make sure that that cat did not carry an infectious disease. But I could not sit back and take the time and think and let the cat run away because, as cruel as it may have sounded, the most important thing that we needed to determine was whether or not that cat was sick. Because if that cat had run off and had bit my aunt, there was a chance that she could have contracted rabies. And the only way, there's no way to test for rabies right at that point. You have to go through the rabies treatment. So I caught the cat, shot it, and we sent it off to the vet, and it turns out that it wasn't sick, thank goodness. But you can't take that risk. You have to make a split decision. You have to make that kind of a decision right away, and you shouldn't let somebody else shoot your dog. And I'm using this metaphor in the context of why I believe it was important for us to confirm Justice Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, now Justice Kavanaugh, to the Supreme Court, despite the fact that I had misgivings about him, despite the fact that I have some very deep disagreements with Justice Kavanaugh on some issues that libertarians hold dear, such as the Fourth Amendment. He's not even really the Second Amendment fan that we would really love for him to be. There was even some testimony where we saw from Judge Kavanaugh where he said something like, "You don't have a right to carry a gun concealed," which is something that I deeply disagree with him on. The government says shall not be infringed. It doesn't say shall not be infringed unless you're wearing a gun concealed. I have some deep disagreements with Kavanaugh. But here's the problem. The problem is that this nomination process for Judge Kavanaugh was not what anybody wanted, I believe. It didn't end up being what anybody wanted other than some strong conservatives and some people in the Trump administration who wanted to win. It wasn't a perfect situation. It wasn't like Neil Gorsuch, where we were all delighted. Libertarians, Republicans, conservatives, right-wingers, Trumpers, whatever it is that you were that you are on the right wing of the spectrum, Gorsuch was a good pick to appease all of those different categories. Libertarians didn't care for Kavanaugh specifically because he had a hand in authoring the Patriot Act, one of the most abominable and anti-privacy, anti-Fourth Amendment pieces of legislation on the books, and one that certainly we should fight against. My first pick was Senator Mike Lee. I wanted Senator Mike Lee, or even Georgetown legal professor Randy Barnett. If you don't know who that is, he's an author of a book. I talk about him quite a bit, an author of a book called Our Republican Constitution. But I use this of mice and men metaphor for what had to be done to the Democrats, who I believe had become dangerous, who I believe were infecting our body politic with poison, and who needed to be put down. Now, the lesson of the book of Mice and Men is that you never let another man shoot your dog. Now, this is an interesting bit of psychology here. What do I mean when I say you never let another man shoot your dog? Well, in Of Mice and Men, there is another character who owns a very, very old dog, and the old dog is suffering. The old dog, he loves him very much, but the old dog has had his day, and there wasn't, you know, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, when Of Mice and Men was set, it wasn't as if you could go to the vet and very humanely put down a dog. If you had to put down an animal like that, you shot your dog. And in the book, or play, or whatever it is, the movie that you're watching Of Mice and Men, the character has someone else take his old, suffering, stinky dog outside and shoot him. Now, later on in the play, the old man says to George, "I shouldn't have let him do that. That was wrong. It's wrong to let someone else shoot your dog." Now, how does this metaphor tie into this Kavanaugh thing? Well, like I was saying earlier, the Democrats were dangerous. They were old, they were decrepit, they were poisoning our body politic with all of these false rape allegations against Justice Kavanaugh. And they had to be put down, and they had to be put down now. Because I was on the fence about Kavanaugh for some time because of the misgivings that I had with him. Now, I had done some research on some of his other positions, which I will be going into here in a few minutes, which I think is very enlightening, and I think is very important for us. We need to have a thorough analysis of someone's record before we put them on the Supreme Court. Of course, he's already on there, but I think we have to do this post hoc. We have to do it after the fact because we just did not, as libertarians, focus on, I think, on anything other than the negatives of Kavanaugh and say, "Oh, well, this man's disqualified." Well, we should talk about the good things. But the reason, one of the many reasons why I thought it was important, is because by the time we got down into the thick of the battle, right? But at the time we got into the actual heat of the conflict of the nomination process, the Democrats pushed me to the right on this one because it was not about the Fourth Amendment. That's not what the Democrats were arguing about. That's not what these confirmation hearings were about. What these confirmation hearings were about was about whether or not you could get away with making false allegations or whether or not the Democrats could get away with these kinds of tactics and do it successfully. And that at that point in time was a bigger issue than the misgivings that we had with Justice Kavanaugh. It outweighed that interest. It did. And you have to have a sense of scale. You have to have a sense of proportion. And you have to be able to look at things objectively with the understanding that Mike Tyson's strategy of everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face, that when you're in the fight, when you're in the thick of it, that sometimes plans go wrong. And while Justice Kavanaugh is not an ideal pick for a constitutional conservative that cares about privacy, he's a very good pick overall in other areas that we definitely need to look at. But it's my opinion that what the Democrats have done have pushed many people over off of the edge. As a matter of fact, I just got a text from a good friend of mine. Her name's Dottie Bailey, and she was listening to some callers into the Tim Jones show tonight. Actually, I'm recording this tonight, the night before I upload. I record them the night before and upload the podcast in the morning. But Dottie sent me a text tonight as saying that, or I guess last night, since this is when you're listening to it, where she said that the last two callers into the show said that they voted for me in the primary. They don't really like Hawley, but they hate McCaskill more because of her no vote on the Supreme Court. They said they're going to vote for Hawley to get her out of there. And then, of course, she added on her own little editorial there. She said that she's proud of them. I'm hearing this all over the state. As a matter of fact, I just got back from Neosho. I was down in Carthage and Neosho picking up my brand new gun that I won from Liberty Tree Guns. Some of you know Liberty Tree Guns in Carthage had a gun giveaway. And I won a brand new SIG P365, beautiful little handgun, 9mm, holds 10 to 11 rounds, even up to 12 or possibly even 13 rounds if you get the extended mag on those things. So I went to go pick that up, and I hung out with my good buddy Ben Baker and his wife Naomi Thomas Baker for a few minutes in Neosho. It was pouring rain. We were talking about the vote for Hawley. You know, Ben Baker and his wife Naomi were big supporters of mine during my campaign, and they're voting for Josh Hawley. Now, there are quite a few others all around the state who are telling me this very thing, that many of these people were on the fence about whether or not they were going to vote for Josh Hawley. Some of them even had said that they were voting for the Libertarian, and they've switched their votes because of the behavior of the Democrats. The Democrats really blew it with this one because they used these kinds of allegations. They weaponized sexual assault allegations against this man. They basically called him a gang rapist. And we're using all of these disgusting allegations against him to smear his character, where his wife had to watch it, his 8-year-old daughter had to watch it. I mean, how can you imagine having to explain that to your 8-year-old daughter? And who knows what other things that she had heard from other people, being unsupervised, perhaps. But the Democrats have dug themselves this hole, and they need to be put down. They needed to be put down with this nomination, and they need to be put down next month in November. And, you know, again, if the Democrats had made this about the Fourth Amendment, if the Democrats had tried to attack him on principle or on policies that they disagreed with him on, this might have gone a different way. But that's not how they did it. They made it personal. I think that they were poisoning the body politic. And I'm of the belief that it was very important for the Democrats to take a big loss last week, and they need to take a big loss in November. So, while we're on this subject, let's talk a little bit about what is good about Kavanaugh, because I took a look at some of the issues on the record, and I gotta say, there were some things here that I thought were really good. Take a listen to this about consumer protection. Let's use air quotes when we say consumer protection, because we know when government says consumer protection, it's really just another scam. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was created in 2011 in response to the Great Recession, part of the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Law. The agency was tasked with protecting consumers from unfair and illegal financial practices such as predatory lending. Since taking office, President Trump has moved to scale back the agency. He appointed Mick Mulvaney, a critic of the agency, as its head, which was amazing, by the way. And since then, Mulvaney has taken steps to significantly cut back their enforcement powers. A number of lawsuits against the agency are also making their way through the courts. And last year, Kavanaugh weighed in on one of those cases, brought by the mortgage company PHH Corporation. Now, PHH had argued that the organizational structure of the CFPB was unconstitutional, claiming its director has too much power over the agency, even though it falls under the executive branch. The court ruled in favor of the CFPB last December, but Kavanaugh disagreed. In his dissent, Kavanaugh argued that the CFPB puts too much power in the hands of the agency's single director. He said that the director of the CFPB wields enormous power over American businesses, American consumers, and the overall U.S. economy, he wrote. He concluded that an independent agency like the CFPB should be headed not by a single director, but by a board to provide checks and balances. Now, this dissent fell short of some conservatives' calls to abolish the agency altogether. Let's call those libertarians. but was still cheered on the right as a rejection of burdensome government regulation. Now, what there was a hilarious case where, of course, this agency was mostly spearheaded and created by Elizabeth Warren, so the Socialist Democrat from Massachusetts, a.k.a. Pocahontas is what Donald Trump calls her. But the head of the agency, Mick Mulvaney, when he was called to testify in front of Congress, said, "I don't have to say jack squat to any of you." When he was being questioned by Elizabeth Warren, who created the agency, he said, "I don't have to answer to you because that's the way you created the agency," as a way to show how ridiculous this institution was. Frankly, I think that this agency should be abolished, but I like the fact that Kavanaugh is dispersing that power. On the environment versus the business, Kavanaugh's record on environmental regulations is a little mixed. In White Stallion Energy Center versus EPA, a case challenging an EPA rule relating to the Clean Air Act, Kavanaugh said it was a surprise to learn that the EPA did not take into consideration the cost that the rule would have on electric utility companies. To be sure, the EPA could conclude the benefits outweigh the cost, but the problem here, the EPA did not even consider the cost, wrote Kavanaugh. He cited against the EPA in a number of other cases, but as SCOTUS blog pointed out, he also ruled in favor of environmental groups and against companies in other cases. A key sticking point for Kavanaugh in many of these and other cases appears to be whether Congress has provided the specific authority to issue the environmental regulations in questions. That's very good. I like to hear that. Now, while some judges tend to give federal agencies broad powers to interpret the laws Congress passes, Kavanaugh has taken a more conservative approach. In a separate case relating to greenhouse gas emissions, for example, he warned that allowing the EPA to make broad regulations could significantly enhance the executive branch power at the expense of Congress's and thereby alter the relative balance of powers. That's very good. That's a very constitutional conservative thing to believe. On another issue, net neutrality. Now, net neutrality, the idea that internet providers should not be allowed to favor content coming from certain sources, has been a topic of heated debate. Now, the FCC repealed the Obama-era net neutrality rule last month, which really angered a lot of supporters who feared internet companies are now going to slow down speeds on certain sites. The Senate voted to save the rule, but the House never took up the measure. So now there are 22 states that are suing over the repeal. California also revived a net neutrality bill that it's hoping will create safeguards for internet customers, and other states are considering relative similar measures. Now, Kavanaugh weighed in on this issue, and I'm as you know, me as a libertarian, I'm opposed to net neutrality, and that's actually not very popular even in libertarian communities. I think it's because it's a misunderstanding of what net neutrality really does. But Kavanaugh's opinion, when he weighed in on a case in 2017, in a dissenting opinion, he said that he thought that the FCC had overstepped its authority because Congress had not passed a net neutrality law. Thank you, Kavanaugh. But he even went further in his dissent, saying that net neutrality rule violated the First Amendment, which he wrote bars the government from restricting the editorial discretion of internet service providers. Exactly. Thank you. So he got them on two counts there in his dissent in a case in 2017. Kavanaugh gets my applause. Now, labor unions have come out in staunch opposition to him because of the cases that say that he's favored businesses over employees. The AFL-CIO cited numerous cases, including one in which Kavanaugh wrote the majority opinion in favor of a casino that had asked police to issue criminal citations to workers protesting in front of the casino. Now, because the NLRB, the government agency that enforces labor laws based in D.C., he's not heard a host of cases relating to the rights of employees and labor unions while on the D.C. Circuit Court. Now, as a result, there's actually been several cases where he ruled in favor of union employees. For example, Robin Shea, a partner at the employment law firm, Costanji Brooks Smith & Prophet, said she's been pretty pleased overall with Kavanaugh's record. He's not in the tank for employers, but she added, as an attorney who often represents companies in employment lawsuits, I was pretty pleased with what I saw in Kavanaugh. So these are the kinds of boring, mundane details that are really difficult, I think, for some people to latch onto because they're just not that interesting. They're not going to get the kind of sexy headlines and libertarian blogs that you're going to read that are going to knock him rightly on privacy issues. But here's the thing. You just can't find federal judges who agree with libertarians on privacy. It's like expecting a prosecutor to believe in privacy. It just doesn't happen. Gorsuch was a very rare bird. And my first pick, of course, was Senator Mike Lee. But that wasn't the choices that we had. And once we got into the battle, well, our plan, after we got punched in the face, in my opinion, should have been to put down the Democrats and put them down hard. And don't let anybody else shoot your dog. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast Monday morning. Kind of a dismal topic, not low energy, but just kind of dark for a Monday morning. Sorry to start you off with such a dark topic. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. I'll smile now, give you guys a little bit of bright pep. Sorry to be so dark and dismal, but it was just something that was on my mind while I was recording this podcast. I hope that you all have a wonderful week. Don't forget, if you want to support the Freedom Report podcast and you want more shows just like this, then you can support me on my live stream, or excuse me, on my Patreon page, patreon.com/AP for Liberty. You can become a white belt, yellow belt, brown belt, black belt, help support the cause of liberty. I'd like to set a goal of getting at least $5,000 a month in donations, because that's going to allow me to hire an employee and reinvest in back into the business. So if you would like to see more libertarian content, news, and journalism being created over the next year, remember, it's not an election year, so we're going to need to be able to continue our momentum so that we can build up strong candidates, so we can support good ideas, so we can support good ballot measures, and so we can support the cause of freedom in general. So don't sit back, guys. I really need your help. Please do me a favor. Go to my Patreon page when you get a chance today. It's patreon.com/AP for Liberty. You can support me there. Also, I am now an affiliate on Twitch. If you like to burn the midnight oil and do hangouts and talk about history, talk about philosophy and politics, and hang out with me on Twitch, you can find me at Twitch. My live stream name over there is NYCproducer1776, and now I'm a Twitch affiliate, so you can actually do all kinds of fun new stuff. Don't forget to check that out on Twitch. I do these live streams on Twitch maybe 3 or 4 times a week, and of course, you get 2 beautiful podcasts a week of the Freedom Report podcast that live at the libertarianrepublic.com. You can download this podcast on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podbean, iTunes, pretty much every single avenue, Google Music, Google Play, Anchor, so many other ones. So if you have a question and you need some help getting it, let me know. If you want to send in a question, if you want me to read your questions on air, I'd love to talk about what you're thinking about. So please feel free to shoot over any questions that you might have that you want me to include in my live streams or in my podcasts or my Freedom Report podcast. You can hit me up on Facebook at AP for Liberty, Twitter, AP for Liberty as well, or on Instagram, all AP for Liberty. The only thing that's NYC producer 1776 is Twitch. So if you send me a message on Twitter or Facebook, or on Instagram, a direct message, I will read your questions, if they're a good question, into the next podcast and answer your questions on the show. Thank you so much, guys, and you have a wonderful week.